Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Chris Manning. He hosts Locked On Cavs, and he is the you're the EIC over there still, right? So the EIC of FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cavs blog. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to we haven't talked since LeBron, like right before his decision, so it's good to link up again.
Yeah, it has been quite a while. Not much has really happened. I mean... You know, his decision happened, and apparently the Lakers are supposed to trade for John Wall now, and they're supposed to trade for Bradley Beal or Otto Porter or whoever NBA Twitter tells me that the Lakers should be trading for next. It's the soup du jour kind of thing. But today is a part one of a two-part podcast conversation, a crossover episode between this show and Locked On Cavs. So after this is over, make sure you guys go check out Locked On Cavs. You can just search it on iTunes. It's everywhere that you find Locked On Lakers. And go make sure you catch the second half of this one. Today on this show, on Locked On Lakers, it's been kind of fun, I would imagine, for Cavs fans to watch Lakers fans freak out about regular season LeBron, which I was getting myself mentally prepared for, but still somehow was taken aback by a couple moments. And I'm sure, Chris, you and everybody over there in Cleveland and Cavs fans all over the place have been enjoying that. So that's going to be the foundation of the conversation here. And then on part two, we're going to talk about the game specifically tomorrow night
Wednesday. If you're depending on listening to this, the game is Wednesday in Cleveland, the night before Thanksgiving, at the Quick Loans Arena.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the vibe there, what we kind of anticipate there, and I also am going to give a couple Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. takes, going to check in on those guys. So plenty of stuff to talk about. Today's show is going to be brought to you by MyBookie and Metro Infinity. More on those guys in a bit. But let's dive on into this thing. Like I said earlier, I was getting myself ready for regular season LeBron. It's an 82-game season. He is in year 16, and I was anticipating, obviously not really caring consistently on defense. Some nights he's just going to say, you know, we're playing in Orlando, tomorrow night we're playing Miami, and I'm going to drop 50 in that one, so I'm just not going to really care about this one. And yet, still, like one thing, for example, that drove me insane over the first, you know, few weeks when he wasn't shooting the ball very well was the random 32-footer that he would shoot in big moments late in the game, and it was driving me bonkers. And then before we went live, Chris, you showed me a play against Sacramento that I somehow missed where he literally tried to kick De'Aaron Fox. So what's that experience been like for you?
As people know, the Cavs are garbage. They are awful. I'm at this point where, like, I don't know what to talk about with the team anymore. So, like, my daily palate cleanser, aside from, like, Rams-Chiefs and watching that game after I watched Cavs-Pistons.
Yep.
which was insane. Beautiful football game. But, like, I watched that LeBron clip because, like, he did a lot of wacky stuff when he was with the Cavs the last 4 years. At a lot of moments where he wasn't trying on defense, and then it'd be like, yeah, he's playing free safety, and that's what Ty Lue would say, and, like, just a bunch of weird stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That is weirder than anything I think I saw in the 4 years. Like, the not as passive-aggressive. Like, there hasn't been that passive-aggressive angle unless I missed something, but the LeBron almost kicking De'Aaron Fox and just, like, not rotating out to Buddy Hield is just hilarious. It's so peak. It's like quintessential regular season LeBron, because, like, I'm sure he had like 20. He's like leading the league in scoring, but he's just so garbage on the end of the floor that, like, you just can't even care. And it is freeing to, like, not have to, like, act like that's a thing, because one of the things that I wish I had learned earlier on in the 4 years that I was covering him day to day was, like, that's just the reality, and it doesn't matter. it like does not matter. Like, yes, like it is very frustrating, and yes, like we're as bath people like evaluating basketball, like day to day good defense is something like we should value, especially when it's like becoming rare and rare. But like it's LeBron and it doesn't matter. And once you like free yourself from that, it's just sort of becomes like funny. Because like there will be like a point where like for me it was when he went crazy in the 15 finals for the, like when he was just dragging them in that series, the Cavs in that series to six games. There will be like a moment where like the first time you're covering a team or like rooting for a team that he's on, and then you get to a playoff series and he just like murders somebody, and he murders the team and like drags the Lakers to like a 4-2 series win or something like that. Like the first time that happens, you're just like, oh, none of this matters, and it allows you to like not give a crap about like the regular season to some degree, and you worry about other stuff, you worry about like the way you can sort of project, but it's just so funny. And I'm like also glad I don't have to like think about that day to day, because like I have much more time in my hands to do it. I don't have to worry about LeBron doing crazy things.
So we're gonna take a quick second here to pay some bills, and when we come back we're gonna continue this conversation with you touched on moments that make you realize, oh yeah, that's right, that's why this doesn't matter so much. And we've gotten a couple of those over the last week or so. So we're going to talk about that here in a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by MyBookie. Head on over to mybookie.ag to give yourself a few extra bucks this holiday season. The gifts just keep on getting more expensive. In my opinion, the number of people I have to buy gifts for just keeps going up for some reason. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my research. I'm going to try to figure out the types of bets that I want to place out there. And fortunately, whenever I place those bets, I know exactly where I'm going to do that, because MyBookie makes sure that I get paid right after those bets go through or hopefully pay off, right? So again, head on over to mybookie.ag and enter the promo code LOCKEDON, and they will match your first deposit up to $1,000 100%. Again, they will match your first deposit, no matter what it is, up to $1,000 100%. And whenever you make that bet, they make sure that when you play, you win, you get paid. So you mentioned how, you know, he'll drag the Lakers to a series win that the Lakers probably have no place winning, and if and when that happens, I'm really looking forward to that, because that means like six or seven straight games of LeBron being full on LeBron mode. Just the other day, Sunday night, we got a taste of LeBron full domination mode against his old Miami team. That was his first win against Miami since leaving. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's right. All those shots that were driving me bonkers, those last, you know, in the beginning of the season, that's whatever. If I'll trade that a zillion times out of a zillion if it means I get to watch this on a regular basis. Did you get a chance to watch the Miami game at all?
I did. I keep a track of like how many times I watch a team in a given year, and like the Lakers are number four, I think, on my list right now, just because like I still find myself like very drawn to sort of what LeBron is, especially at least until we get up to the Cavs Lakers game. I think that might change after. But considering especially like how the Cavs had no success in Miami, and you think about like they lost on Christmas Day once, they lost just like random regular season games, or like just never, like there was just something funky about that, that was just like a bad vibe. It was kind of nuts to see him go in there and just like ruin them the way he did. And then I was thinking about like what that means for Wednesday, and I'm like, he could drop like 70 on the Cavs, and like it wouldn't surprise me. Like it would probably be easy for him to do that in that game. Like that's where we're at with him. And throughout the year, like I watch what he's done in like some of these games, and just watch some of the stuff he's doing where you're just like, he's still incredible. And you're just like, yeah, like he's going to have like no issue. And like that Heat game is just a perfect encapsulation, because like, as you know, like everything he did in that game was just dominant. Everything he did in that game was just like, holy crap, LeBron James. And I'm sure like the fact that like he's doing it in like a Lakers jersey now is just like, probably has not, like the funness of that has probably not worn off in a way where it's like it feels normal. Like, I'm sure every time he does it, it's just like, holy crap, like LeBron is doing this for Lakers now. And to me, it's like still weird because like we've never seen him playing late at night before on the West Coast, like as if someone living in the East Coast. You know, we're seeing him do it like against different teams and different environments and doing it in that arena. Like, it's just a completely different thing, even though he's still doing things in this way that is just like unreal. And it does add, it's like a different fun layer to like what we've known from LeBron. And he seems a little happier too, to some degree, but you tell me if I'm wrong about that.
He definitely seems to be really enjoying being a Laker. The nice thing is I think the Lakers have done a pretty good job of kind of limiting his exposure to a certain extent. Like, it could very easily be over the top. He could be everywhere, but the Lakers have kind of gone out of their way to be like, well, there are still other guys on this team. I mean, you look at, he's obviously in all of like the pregame fashion photos. That's something he's into anyway, but they make a point of, hey, look, here's Kyle Kuzma over here. Oh, there's Lonzo over there. There's KCP or whatever. And they make, and this, I think it kind of follows with the theme when they brought him over of, we're going to surround you with guys who can kind of lighten your load. And to that point, I believe he's playing with like the seventh lowest usage rate of his career. He's playing the fewest minutes of his career. And it was funny because after that 50-point game against Miami, you had some people out there saying like, oh, I don't know if it's a good thing that LeBron has to go out there and score 50 to barely beat the Heat. And my thing is, like, if you watch that game, and you said you did, it looked easy. Like, he never looked tired in it. He just kind of went out there, and even his 51, the shot that he took to score his 51st point was a step back 33-footer that he kind of took and as a bet, as a literal bet, with Lance Stephenson. Lance bet him, like, oh, no, I bet you won't take this shot to score your 50th point or whatever. And he hits it, and he immediately points back at Lance and starts laughing about it right after the game. Everything looks really easy to him, and it's kind of nice to see somebody, like, he got knocked for maybe making this decision out of other things beyond basketball. But like, really, if what it comes down to is in year 16, you just want to be happy on the West Coast, I, given everything that he's accomplished, I'm cool with that. And the Lakers are still winning, so I'm extra cool with it, I guess.
So the one thing about this that I have found, like, I've wondered sort of how Lakers Twitter and you have kind of reacted to this. The stuff with LeBron and coaches is always just kind of uncomfortable because you go back to really the Spoelstra thing. It's like, we know that he like asked Pat Riley if he was going to coach, right? And like, we know that him and David Blatt, obviously were not exactly on the same page. And I think him and Ty had a good relationship, but it wasn't a good, like, it was still kind of LeBron. Like, the rap was unfairly was that LeBron was coaching the team. There's been some stuff with Luke Walton. Like, it's been a little, like, it hasn't been perfect, I would guess. But what has it been like observing LeBron, like, interacting with Luke, and their, what is their dynamic just sort of felt like as you've evaluated them?
I think he really likes Luke the guy, and I think that's a good starting point. Look, LeBron is going to be the de facto coach of just about every team. The de facto coach, the de facto general manager, team president, like, whatever you want to make it. If LeBron wants something, it's going to wind up happening in some degree of magnitude or whatever. I think one thing that I really liked was Luke Walton was under fire, right? That Magic Johnson had that meeting with him and like berated him to a point where other people in the organization could hear Magic like ripping into Luke. And ever since that meeting, LeBron goes out of his way to credit the coaches whenever he possibly can. And LeBron is conscientious of all these things. He's about as self-aware an athlete as you're going to find. And he knows that when he says things, people are going to read between the lines to the nth degree. And I really appreciated, as somebody who thinks that Luke Walton is the right guy for this team, I really appreciated that, like, people asked him, hey, what turned around the defense? And he turned around and he said, like, well, we started trusting the coaches, and the coaches put great game plans together, and the coaches did this, and the coaches did that. Like, that that doesn't mean nothing. And if anything, it means a lot more than even more than most casual fans tend to realize, given the amount of heat that are on all coaches that he coaches for. I actually want to ask you about the Ty Lue thing, and how he handled that and that relationship. And if eventually that was just one of those things that kind of like wore on you as somebody who paid attention to the team on a daily basis, on a nightly basis. And we're going to get to that here in a second. Today's show is brought to you also in part by Metro Infinity. You can find them on metroinfinity.com or head on over to right off the 210 in Monrovia at 821 East Central Avenue. And you can check out their brand new multi-million dollar facility. They have a great selection of new and used cars, as you would be able to see if you checked out their website. It's the holiday season. If you want to treat somebody you truly love with a new Infiniti, or you want to treat yourself for having a great year, head on over there to the dealership, mention Locked On Lakers, and they will knock off $500 off of that purchase. $500. That's plenty of money that you could spend anywhere else. And you know that $500 is coming off the top of great value in and of itself because you went to Metro Infiniti. So again, head on over to Metro Infinity just off the 210 in Monrovia. Mention Locked On Lakers, save a bunch of money, drive a great car, and enjoy the rest of the show. So I described one of the things, or the thing that LeBron has done as a means to kind of lighten the load on Luke Walton. And I don't know if it was I don't know if it's that he likes Luke Walton specifically, or that he doesn't like the idea of potentially being seen as a coach killer in any way, shape, or form. But for you, having watched the dynamic between LeBron and Ty Lue, Ty Lue gets fired, seven games into his first season without LeBron? Was that just something that was on a nightly conversation with the guy? I always thought he was kind of underrated out there.
I agree. I think Ty has his limitations. I mean, I think Ty has issues as a coach, but I also think he's a guy that, I mean, I think because of all the removing LeBron from a team, from the injuries they had, from just the not great roster, like, this kind of set up as a fall guy to some degree. Like, the Cavs are publicly positing that they could, you know, make the playoffs this year. I sort of wonder if like that was just kind of like, look here, we're going to make the playoffs, but like, you know, like, are they really going to actually make the playoffs? Like, I think that was just always going to be tough. I'm thinking a lot about LeBron and Ty and his kind of frustrations, you know, at the end of last year and stuff, and how he just seems later this year and just kind of like more chill. And I just wonder if, like, you know, the stuff with Dane was obviously never great. I don't know if you read the Joe Vardon story in The Athletic that came out on Monday about what he said about the Kyrie trade. But, like, he said the Kyrie trade was the beginning of the end of everything, and that he, the breakdown of this was basically, like, he got off the phone with Kobe Altman. Kobe said they weren't going to make the trade. And then, like, not too long after that, he found out via Randy Mims, I think, was the guy that told him. You can read the story at The Athletic, but, like, they traded Kyrie to Boston.
Yeah.
And like from there, it's just like, I don't know if there was ever anything like real positive about last year. Like, I think the highlight of last year was like that late when Clarkson comes into Boston and like plays well, and Hood and Nance, everyone plays well in that debut game in Sunday in Boston. And like how elated LeBron was, it was just like, that was like a freeing moment to some degree. Right. And I think like this Lakers situation, with like everything that it offers him, with the differences, just like with what sort of being, I think, free there, and like how that impacts the Luke stuff, how that impacts like everything with the young guys, like it just seems like it's less stressful overall. And I think that has to help with Luke. Like, you know, maybe he could have done more for Ty. Like, maybe, you know, maybe maybe the single little different he stays, or like, and that protects Ty's job to some degree, or like something's different. But I think like it just seems like a less overall, less toxic, less stressful environment. And I think like for a player and a coach, that can only be a good thing, you know. Like, I just think it was always very stressful around the Cavs last year. It was always very tense. I'm a very far away, like you or Harrison or like the bajillion people covering the Lakers, like David Gamendeman's like uniquely qualified to answer this question, but like I cannot imagine that the environment in LA for him is nearly as just tense all the time as it seemed to be with the Cavs.
Here's my theory on that. I think so. He leaves the Cavs. When he first leaves the Cavs, that's the only organization he's ever known. And to a large extent, obviously, they kind of sort of coddled the guy, right? And he goes to Miami and he plays for a guy in Pat Riley, who is famously, historically, my way or the highway. And then he wins there. And he tries to bring some of that kind of culture to Cleveland, and tries to put some of that Dan Gilbert letter behind him, and he winds up winning Cleveland a title, and I think he accomplished everything that he wanted to there. But and what you're talking about, I don't think he ever fully got past the letter, and rightfully so. I thought it was disgusting. And I don't think he ever fully trusted ownership. And I don't think he was ever fully on the same page with the front office. And I think one thing that the Lakers kind of offer here, and it's unique to what the Lakers can offer, is one, ownership, you know, that comes from a family that has won more than just about any ownership group in American professional sport, right? And so he knows that they have this history behind them, and he can trust that at least as the foundation of the relationship. And then on top of that, he has maybe his only peer in terms of presences in a front office in Magic. And I think he kind of, it's nice that he can actually trust the people who are working above him. In terms of, even if it's just in terms of title, but these Magic, Pelinka, all these guys are working in lockstep with LeBron. There's constant communication with the guy. They had that 2-hour meeting between Magic and LeBron, and I think I like the way you put it, that it's a load off his back that he can just focus on basketball. Or even, you know, for the cynics or the skeptics of his move to LA, he can focus on the stuff that isn't basketball.
He can film Space Jam 2, yeah. Right? Like, he can go to practice and go film some skit to him and JaVale to go right over and do Space Jam. Like, it's perfect.
Right, but if he, like, let's say we put the Cleveland Cavaliers in Los Angeles, right?
Jordan Clarkson would be very happy about that.
Yeah. Poor Jordan Clarkson's transformation is something else. But let's say we put the Cleveland Cavaliers, everything else remains the same, and LeBron is somehow able to bring the Cavaliers over to Los Angeles with him. I still don't think he would be as happy, because he wouldn't be able to. He'll never have that same amount of trust that I think he has with this current front office. Now, that's not a permanent thing, right? Like, this current front office, this current ownership, the everybody is probably telling him, hey, we can get this wink-wink deal done with, say, Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard or whichever second star that you want to play with, right? We can pull this off and we can put this team together for you. If they aren't able to do that, well, then some of that trust kind of will rightfully fall by the wayside. But for right now, I haven't really thought of it this way, but for right now, I think he enjoys the fact that he just has to go out there and play basketball. He doesn't have to answer for every single aspect of the organization. I would imagine that's a nice light load off for him.
I would agree, and I think, like, I think just like the environment he's in, where it is just less on him. Like, it is like, this is like the, like, how many, there's like what, 3 NBA organizations he could have gone to that are like bigger than him as a player, like where they'd have like a brand that's oppressed. And the Lakers are like probably number one, you know, I could be like the Knicks or like the Celtics, like the other two, maybe, but the Lakers, like the one that we can go in and like, he just is adding to this mythos where like, he will forever be the defining player in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no way around that. And Lakers is just like, yes, like, he is the defining guy for them right now. And yes, like, everything is seemingly set up for him to like get someone really good. At the same time, LeBron does run out of patience. Like,
yeah.
And I don't think that's this year. I would guess, like, I think, like, just what we've seen, I can't imagine that it's this year. Because if it was going to be this year, I get the vibe that the Lakers probably would have, like, traded two of their young guys for someone already, you know?
Yeah, they'd be in Washington.
Yeah, or, like, Kemba Walker would, like, be on this team or something. But, like, I wonder what it looks like. I just wonder what the out of my own curiosity of like what LeBron in LA looks like, because it's been like very fun, and like Whitney Wentworth at SB Nation does a great job like chronicling this in the B-sides. But I just like wonder what it looks like when there is like some actual real tension where it's like, okay, you couldn't get me anybody, and it's like next year it's the same sort of group, you know? Like I doubt that happens. Like LA's undefeated. The KD thing to me just seems like I'm just waiting for that, or like Brad Beal and KD or something, like just insane, or AD and KD in something insane. But like, I wonder if that doesn't happen, or doesn't happen like with the same exact type of guy LeBron wants. I wonder what that all looks like. And I think that would be really interesting to see, because like that was like part of the cracking with the trust in Cleveland, was like the David Griffin thing and like everything that just like wasn't quite up there. Like, when some of that trust was lost with Kyrie and like that summer, I think that eroded a lot. And it's a little different because he's on a 3-year deal with the 4th-year option, but that didn't help the Cavs, and it wouldn't help the Lakers if he gets kind of frustrated in the same way. And especially when like he could, like if he does dial it down even more, like in the regular season, like it doesn't help the Lakers then either, you know? Like it doesn't help anybody if that situation just kind of deteriorates in any way.
Yeah. I don't think there's a scenario where the Lakers walk away with nobody. Even if let's say they strike out completely in free agency, right? They don't get anybody. Kevin Durant goes to New York. Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto. Jimmy Butler stays in Philadelphia. And the Lakers are sitting there with their hands in their pockets, right? I don't think there's a scenario here where the Lakers go into next season and Brandon Ingram is still the second best player on the team. I'll put it that way. I think those kids get moved either for star, you know, B, or they get somebody of a middling kind of level and they try to bump that guy up as the second star. But I don't think there's a scenario here where the Lakers just kind of magic has to have that conversation with LeBron and says, well, so about that promise, I just don't see that happening. That trust kind of goes both ways. The respect level that I talked about between LeBron and Magic that is unique to that relationship in terms of front office that LeBron could have chosen to play with or play for, that swings but the other way, where Magic is probably saying, and Magic kind of as somebody who was a superstar understands that to a certain extent, organizations that have a star playing for them owe something not only to that star, but to the actual sport. Like, the Lakers would be doing a disservice to the sport if they don't surround LeBron with a winner. That's always my frustration when I see, like, Anthony Davis in New Orleans. It's not just that I want to see Anthony Davis on a good team because that would be good for the city of New Orleans. It would be good for Anthony Davis's legacy and all these things. But it's also good for the sport when the absolute bona fide superstar athletes are surrounded by enough talent to be able to lift their games to the next level, and we can see those guys at that peak level for as long as possible. And Magic, being a former superstar, can kind of recognize that and knows that, all right, either Brandon Ingram has to turn things around this year, or he's going to be in choose your star LeBron, and we'll trade for that guy. I think that's how this all plays out if they don't get a Kevin Durant in free agency.
I don't disagree with that one, but I think it is just kind of inevitable.
Yeah,
I'm shocked if next year, like, he's not playing with someone else, really, top 10 player in the NBA. That would be like just mind blowing. It's gonna be fun. Like, it's gonna be fun to kind of see how that plays out, and I'm curious to see like how that patience holds up. And I guess maybe just as Twitter, like, it's a big group. It's a very diverse group of voices. Lakers community kind of evaluated like where the Lakers are in terms of it just being like LeBron and the guy and JaVale and like these random vets and then the young guys that they've really kind of collected over the last couple years. Like, what has that viewing experience kind of been like?
I mean, JaVale has been fine. JaVale, I think, was for what they signed him for, great value. I mean, they have two guys at center for league minimum salaries, and they're both vastly outproducing that value. Lance Stephenson wasn't a good signing. Michael Beasley has been pretty much an unmitigated disaster. Rajon Rondo was probably slightly overpaid so that they could get him there for only 1 year. And as frustrating as it might be, though, that Luke Walton and LeBron seems to really want him in there for clutch situations. The Lakers very obviously missed him in Orlando and probably would have missed Rondo, actually did miss Rondo in Miami when they gave up their big lead because Lonzo and LeBron were both on the bench at the same time, and that group just was completely rudderless out there. So that's LeBron kind of saying, hey, Lance is my guy, Beasley is my guy, JaVale is my guy, Rondo is, I think, more of a Magic guy. Magic really wanted Rajon Rondo last year, dating back to two summers ago. But for the most part, I can't really complain. And it's like, to bring this conversation full circle, we talked earlier about how, you know, those moments where LeBron tries to kick De'Aaron Fox mean significantly less because he can go out there and drop 50 points on Miami. Like, if it means having LeBron on the Lakers roster, if that means having to put up with Rajon Rondo or Lance Stephenson or Michael Beasley also on the roster, KCP is the clutch guy that the Lakers were always going to have. Like, I make that trade every single day of the week and twice on Sunday, and I think just about every organization in actual probably professional sport would make that, not just basketball. Like, I would imagine the Cleveland Browns would sign J.R. Smith if it meant that they could have LeBron James at tight end.
Connelly's a right strong up just some magnificent plays for that duo though. Anyone who just, it's bleak. It's a rough week in Cleveland right now. They could use like some good vibes, but I am fascinated by this. The LeBron LA thing is just like, I'm glad we get to see him in this context. Like, my big takeaway from this year is like, I was, you know, I expected it after like you and I, people can go back and listen. Like, you and I talked about this a lot, like in Twitter and stuff. Like, I was skeptical. I think looking back, I was way too skeptical. And I think I am also glad I get to see him in this context. I think like for both sides, the big thing here is I think this has forced us to look at both these people and both this organization and this player. I think like different ways. Like, this is a new environment for LeBron. I think it's a fun one for this point in his career and in the state of the NBA right now. And for the Cavs, it's like they have to like actually try to be competent without LeBron, and they're just like failing spectacularly, but they like actually have to grow up. Yeah. And I think like at the timing for both people, I think it made sense because I would have sucked. Like, and I say this as someone that like would have been able to cover LeBron day to day and like reap the benefits of that. Like, I mean, it's freaking cool to like cover a team that has LeBron James on it. There's like no denying that. It would have sucked to see him try to like make this group work this year. It would have sucked. It is way more fun to see him in LA. And like, people can get mad about that. People can like say whatever. It's, to me, that is just like a fact. Like, it would have sucked to see him try to drag this Cavs roster to like something this year. It would have sucked.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I think that's a good place to cut this off. And I wanted to, if at all possible, I'd like to extend or continue the conversation about, you know, the stuff that you and I talked about, whether the Cavs were ready for the post-LeBron era, if they learned enough while LeBron was in town. Maybe we can continue that on part B of this. And this is a reminder, if you guys want to listen to part B of this conversation where we talk about, maybe we'll get to the stuff that I just mentioned. We're definitely going to talk about the game specifically and the vibe surrounding the game. Make sure you guys check all of that out on Locked On Cavs. It's everywhere that you find Locked On Cavs. Locked On Lakers. And make sure you go out there and write Chris a review out there. If you like the content that he's giving, that he's putting on this show, it's a lot of the same stuff on his show. So review, rate, subscribe, all that stuff. I'll talk to you, Chris, here in a second, and I'll hopefully you guys will continue to listen to this conversation here on Locked On Cavs.